Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here's your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Hunter Drew, and today I am joined by a friend of mine's girlfriend. Her name is Lisa. She's a registered occupational therapist, and we sort of came to the conclusion that right now is a perfect time to have a discussion on occupational therapy and the role it could play with all the children that are now being homeschooled and the disruption of schedules and parents trying to figure out how to capitalize with this and make it as stress-free as possible. So today we're going to be talking with Lisa about some of the tips and tricks for parents to employ, especially parents dealing with children who are on the autistic spectrum, you know, dealing with ADHD, as well as kids who are just having to figure out, you know, they've been going to occupational therapy and that's no longer an option due to social isolation. So with that, Lisa, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. So you're a first-time guest. Let's hear a little bit about yourself, you know, your education, your schooling, your work, you know, what it is you're doing.
For sure. Well, I'm a registered occupational therapist. I practice in Ontario, Canada. I did my schooling in Kingston, Ontario, which is about 3 hours away from Toronto. And I did my Master's of Science of Occupational Therapy there. Up until this point, I've been working in the pediatric field for about 4 years now, specifically as a school-based occupational therapist. So I work with kids that are primarily in kindergarten and elementary school, but I do go all the way up into secondary and sometimes even into young adulthood till about the age of 21. Most of my kids are either on the autism spectrum or they have a diagnosis of ADHD. Some of them have sensory processing disorders and some of them have fine motor delays, and so they present with difficulties in school, and so the schools call me in to provide assessments and see what's going on with the kids and what kind of recommendations I can give to the parents and to the teachers to help them.
That's incredible. When Luca first introduced, you know, he brought the concept of having you on the show, I thought it was brilliant, and the timing couldn't be more perfect, you know, especially with those who they need that one-on-one, they need that scheduled routine. I mean, with Corona going on, for the kids, they go to you and they use your services. How have you been connecting with them?
So yeah, a lot of the kids that I was seeing in school, so they're all currently at home, and a few parents have reached out to me asking about what they can do with their kids. A lot of the kids are in distress. They were so used to having a Monday to Friday routine, 9 to 3, 3:30, of tasks that they knew what they were supposed to do, and now they're being kept at home and there's no routine in place, and so parents just don't know what to do with their kids, and they're asking me, can you start some like telehealth, which is virtual like virtual sessions using different online platforms so that I can see the kids and do activities with them. But currently at the moment, there's a lot of things that need to be set up first so that it's all secure, because a lot of these platforms, they're not necessarily encrypted or, you know, have privacy protection, and we're working with kids, so we want to make sure that they're all safe. I'm in the works of that right now, but hopefully in the near future, I'll have something set in place where I can go and help these parents and the kids.
It's incredible what technology has afforded us to do, you know, to stay in touch and to connect with one another and to continue some semblance of a regular life while we're all stuck indoors. You know, with Corona, this was unprecedented. It's understandable that parents are going to be stressed. The kids are going to be stressed. You know, everybody's dealing with this unforeseen thing. And now they're all trying to find the best way to come out of this. So I was hoping to pick your brain and maybe get some advice or some tips and tricks that parents can use, you know, for the different, I guess, levels that they're dealing with. And to start, kids that were just going through fine motor training, you know, I looked through some of your work. We have several activities. What are some things parents can do just for the kids that are working on their fine motor skills? You know, what's some activities you have them doing?
So there's lots of things. And like right now, I know that, you know, parents, they do have some things at home. Lots of kids, I'm sure they have lots of kid toys that they can play with. And maybe there's some parents that don't. So my first kind of go-to is just using household objects, things that I'm pretty sure that every parent has to have in their house. So things like clothespins. So what I would do with that, I would grab a Sharpie, write every single letter of the alphabet on them, scatter them all on the floor, and get the kids to search for the letters and put them in order by clipping them onto the side of a box. Something as simple as that can do a lot for their fine motor skills, because a lot of kids struggle with their pincer grasp, which is when you use your thumb, index, and middle finger and have to squeeze, because those are the fingers that you use to grasp a pencil. And a lot of kids have weak hands, especially the ones that I see. They have weak hands, and they're still trying to get to the point of developing to that type of grip where they're holding with the three pencils. So that's a great game that they can do. Another great one is using Play-Doh. And I feel like every kid should have Play-Doh at home. If you don't, you can always use cookie dough, or you can use any kind of dough that you use to make bread, and just get the kids to get their hands messy, get in there. You can even hide a few things, hide some of their toys, hide beads, hide coins, and just get them to try to search for them. And that's really great for building hand strength.
How does a parent know if the kid is tired, you know, if the muscles are tired, or if the kid just doesn't want to do the task?
Well, you can tell that the child has weak hands when either they verbally tell you, "I'm tired." You can tell when they are using an awkward looking grasp. And when I say awkward, it's when something just doesn't look typical in terms of how you would do it as a parent. If you see that your child is grasping a pencil using their whole hand, there is also the developmental stage of when that's appropriate. And if your child, you know, is already in school and they're still holding things in that manner with their whole hand, then that's one indication that the child is behind in their development. When you see that they're having difficulties with doing up their buttons, when you know that, you know, other kids their age are able to do that, and you can see that there's not much force when they're trying to manipulate these objects, then you know that that's something to really focus on and start working on now.
Yeah, I was thinking in the back of my mind as you were explaining that, you know, my son, I was sharing with you yesterday, he had to go to occupational therapy for writing. So one of the things is he would have it at school, and then at home, he'd write sentences, or he'd write a paragraph, or he'd write something to strengthen his grip. And there were more than a few occasions where he's like, "Oh, my hand hurts." And I was like, "Does your hand hurt, or do you just not want to write?" I was trying to, like, I didn't want to be a jerk, like really hurt him. But at the same time, I wanted him to push through. So I'd always, you know, try to balance it. And I think you're correct. You know, I think that is the best answer to, as a parent, you can tell, you know, when they're doing things weird, like when they're starting like really like to stretch the hand, like, all right, maybe it does hurt, you know, maybe he's not just being lazy and trying to get out of his routine. But that's, like I said, that's something that parents are going to have to face is, look, it's not all going to happen immediately. And there's a reason they're going to OT. You know, they really do have an issue. So you got to factor that in, that, you know, maybe it came really fast for your other child, but this one, for whatever reason, you know, we kind of have to cater the program to them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that every child, they develop at their own pace. I hate to say, like, compare to your other child, you know, this child isn't at the same level. We can't judge it based off of that. All we can do is see, where is that child at, and what can we do to help them, move them forward? Because looking at things with that kind of lens really puts them down, and they can feel it. Kids can feel what parents are saying, or even what they're thinking by their behaviors. If you feel that your child's not doing well and you're frustrated with them, they know, and that's just really unmotivating for them. And nobody wants to feel that way. And it's very hard for kids to push through past that and try to achieve more. So you really have to be careful with how you approach things, and just know that, you know, this is where they're at, and we just got to work with what they were given.
I really like that you included that. You know, kids are so perceptive. Like they can just feel that vibration you're giving off. And it's very similar to, you know, one of the things I'm always pushing is don't compare yourself to other people's social media. You know, be better than you were yesterday. You know, don't try to be like that guy or this guy. You know, be better than you yesterday. So as long as that kid is improving better than they were yesterday, you know, they're doing all right. Before we move on to, you know, some of the other things people are dealing with, there's a way to make this fun. So even though it's work, they can be having a good time playing with Play-Doh or, you know, like you said, putting the letters and clipping them to the box. You know, it doesn't have to be a stressful, everybody banging heads against each other. They can have a good time and improve their strength.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what OTs are great at. We use our creativity and we make things fun. For any child to learn, the activity has to be fun. If it's boring, if it's being forced upon, they're either going to do it resentfully or they're not going to do it at all. And if they do it resentfully, they're not going to learn from it. They're just going to do it just to get it done. You need to tap into that creative side and make the activity fun and motivating. I like to use a lot of rewards at the end as an extra motivator to keep it more fun. I have some kids that thrive off of competition. And so when I make it a competition between them and myself, they're really motivated to do the activity. So it's really, I mean, there's so many ways to go about it, but yeah, making it fun is super, super key.
So I have a link to your Instagram, which is kids_OT_hub, you know, and I was scrolling through a lot of the activities you have for fine motor skills. It sounds, you can have fun with it. You know, there's a lot, like this is a positive thing we can do together. When you move towards, you know, the ADHD side of it, and more behavioral issues as opposed to strength and weakness of muscles and capabilities of micro movements. Are you finding parents, they're stuck at home and they got a kid who won't sit down and do his work, you know, so the ADHD side of the house. How have you found a way to break through to those kids? And what are some things parents who are on that side of the house having to deal with, you know, kids who are ADHD or hyperactive, how are you working with them to help maybe loosen and lighten the stress and increase the child's ability to sit down and focus?
Yeah, so the way I think about it and the way I describe it to parents is that kids that have ADHD, just think of it as a car that is running on super speed. They have so much energy that you have that much energy and that much tension inside of you. It's very hard to focus. And when you go, you got to sit down for, you know, 30 minutes, you got to finish all your homework, and that's how they're feeling inside. It's very, very difficult for that child to get any work done. Some suggestion is breaking the activity down. So if it's a table work task, like they're supposed to be doing some sort of written work activity, supposed to be writing a homework piece, break the activity down into increments. So every 5 or 10 minutes of written work, then let them get up and have a movement break. And that movement break can be a bunch of different things. Like maybe it's just them walking to the kitchen, grabbing some water, and then walking back, and that helps them to refocus. Or some kids, they need to do 20 jumping jacks and then do 20 push-ups on the floor, and that helps to ground them. Now they feel more focused. Or maybe it's just going out into the backyard and rolling on the grass for a few minutes and then coming right back. And sometimes just those extra movement breaks help kids to refocus, and they're able to get more work done. It's just kind of like as adults. Like I remember when I was in school and I would be in a lecture, I'm sitting there, and I mean, our lectures are like 3 hours, which is like equivalent to like 30 minutes for a kid. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can't focus. Like, I don't even know what my prof is saying anymore. Like, I just need to do something or I'm not sitting anymore. And I would just get up and just walk to the bathroom and come right back. And then I'd be like, okay, I think I have another like half an hour, 45 minutes in me to focus again. It doesn't change when you're a kid and when you're an adult. We all have these feelings, but kids with ADHD, it is much harder for them to focus. So we need to be aware of that and give them the strategies to help them.
I would say all kids would benefit from that. You know, not just, yeah, I mean, obviously hyperactive for sure, but I think all kids would just do well to sort of break it up and just go ahead, go do a thing for a little bit and come back. And I do think parents are putting undue stress on themselves because they're trying to stick to that corporate mindset of sit down for an hour straight. For a lot of the people who are homeschooling now, we have, you know, the power in our hands to create our own schedule. Go ahead. Your kid doesn't have to sit for an hour to do whatever task. You know, for mine, they'll sit, they'll do some, and then sure, go for a walk. Go walk around the house. You know, go throw the ball for 20 minutes, come back and finish your lesson. I don't see why there'd be a need for us to butt heads about, oh, sit down. Like, everybody's just going to get angry at each other. Let's spread the wings. Let's lower the stress. Let's lighten up. You know, and I completely agree with you that some kids are going to need to do the jumping jacks. Others can just go for a 2-minute walk.
Yeah, exactly. All kids, they respond so differently. It's a matter of trial and error. Even though I have 4 years of experience working with kids, I don't get it right every single time. I have to try and try different things and keep changing things up and then see what works. And so I think parents have to do the same thing too. Don't just try one thing and think, oh, this didn't work. Nothing will work. No, you have to think of other ways. You have to talk to other people, talk to other parents that go through it, see what strategies work for them, connect with your therapist or your child's OT from school and see, can they give you other suggestions? I mean, there's so many things out there. There's a lot of like companies now that make sensory equipment and they make a lot of fidget tools, fidget like seating alternatives. So there's something called like a Hokey stool, which looks like a plastic stool, but the bottom is curved. So it kind of topples from side to side. So when your kid's sitting on it, they can fidget around and move around. And sometimes just having that extra movement while they're sitting gives them that ability to focus better.
So I was never diagnosed, but my brain has always been like the engine that's always going. And I realized as you're talking about that chair, right now my foot's bouncing on the ground, just up and down. It's my outlet while we're having this conversation to just kind of burn some energy off. That's funny.
And there's even there's a tool for that too. They have
perfect.
these little like stretchy bands that you can put around the feet, the front feet of your chair. And so they can put their feet on it and bounce their feet up and down. And sometimes that deep pressure into their feet allows them to self-regulate and be able to focus better. If you don't have that and you have like a TheraBand that you use for exercise, you can always tie it around the front of your seat too.
I'm going to be going to Amazon after this. Yeah. No, that's excellent. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on was exactly this, you know, to talk about the different outlets, the different resources. Another thing I wanted to stress, and this is more for those listening, is listening to this podcast is not going to change the situation you're in. You have to apply some things. So whether it's getting some new resources, such as the bands, or maybe something your kid can move around in, maybe changing the schedule, you know, we can have this conversation and it's excellent. You know, you're going to learn a lot, but unless you apply things to your life, your situation with your child is not going to improve. And the beauty you have as a parent compared to Lisa is when she has new kids, she's got to start over. You know, what worked for this kid didn't work for that kid. For your child, you have them every day. So each day, just try, maybe it didn't work today. Maybe today was a rough day, but tomorrow, try again a little different. And the next day, okay, this worked, this didn't. The next day, a little different. And I think people will have great success. I mean, I think they'll come out of this and maybe want to stick with the homeschooling, you know, maybe not want to send the kid back to the public school or whatever they're in. The final, and this is the bigger one, and I saved it for last because it's kind of heavy. There are people dealing with autistic children. I know some personally that are having a very, very hard time because that kid has their whole routine went out the window. Everything that was familiar. What resources or what do you recommend those parents? What could they do to kind of bring some sanity back to their life? Because they're having a tough time at it.
For sure. My hearts go out to those parents. I know how challenging that can be. And I think the first thing that I would really recommend is to have a visual schedule in place. I think that's really, really important because children with autism, they have difficulties with change. They really need structure because that brings certainty for them and helps them to feel more safe and secure. And so now that they're not going to school anymore and they're being thrown into this brand new routine, they don't know what's going on and now they don't know what to expect next. And so this might be why parents are seeing a lot more meltdowns or a lot more behaviors coming out and just refusal to doing things because your child doesn't know what's coming up next. And when you tell them, a lot of kids with autism, when you tell things verbally, it's much harder for them to process it. Using something visual and something very simple can help them to see what's the next step. And so, I mean, there's lots of resources out there. I actually particularly created something just for this.
I saw that.
And yeah. And it's a visual schedule that breaks down morning, afternoon, and evening. So the child can see exactly what's what are the activities they're supposed to do. And there's a section on rewards. So it's bringing in some sort of motivational piece to help them keep them on track. So using like a sticker system, and if they are able to collect, you know, 4 stickers after doing certain different activities that the parent wanted and they were rewarded with that, then maybe they can be given some extra time with their parents, some family time, or maybe it's, you know, some extra screen time. Although I do recommend try to limit that as much as you can, but sometimes that can be an extra motivator to help them keep them on track. And another piece to all this is helping them learn about self-regulation strategies. And what that is it's helping kids to understand their emotions better and knowing how to cope with the different changes. And so I have a tool that I use, and it's basically like a 4-colored system where the child, if they're feeling kind of low and in this like blue level, then they have to learn to identify that they're feeling this way, and then build strategies with the parents on what is something that's going to help bring me out of this level back to a more happier level, which I call the green level. Pretty much I made this handout for parents. I tried to make it as simple and clear cut as possible because I totally understand when, you know, handouts are being thrown at you, it's very difficult to actually implement them. I think that with this, hopefully parents can find some relief and more structure for their kids.
That last part about understanding your emotions, I think that's incredibly important with what it is everybody's going through, you know, because it's okay to be stressed out, you know, like just recognize that's what you're feeling and that's okay. You know, now that you feel that, let's process it. And I think a lot of parents need to hear that as much as their kid. Like, all right, yeah, things have changed. I mean, my wife and I are very, very fortunate in that we've worked from home for months before this ever happened. So when the kids, they had homeschooling, it's just a different element for us to work with, but we still had to change our schedule. I couldn't imagine all of a sudden telework and I'm trying to do my job and my kids, you know, maybe he's autistic or on the spectrum or dealing with ADHD or something like that. And he's going through his thing and I'm trying to work and help my child. You know, there are a lot of parents in that situation and my heart goes out to them. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with this. Some parents, you know, they feel like they're failing. Like, oh, I'm a failure. You know, I'm not doing right by my kid. You're doing the best you can. You know, you got to give yourself credit. And to your point on understanding your emotions, you know, like, yeah, you're feeling down because there's chaos everywhere. That's okay. It'll become the new norm. And I'm really glad we're able to have this conversation sort of early on into this thing, because it looks like there's another month, you know, to come. I'm not cool. You know, my kids, I know for sure, they're not going back in May. So June, what are they going to, like, we're going to hit the summer. They're going to end the school year with us. It's really good. I'm really glad you brought that up.
For sure. And, you know, the visual schedule, I think it can work for parents too. Print 2 copies, one for you and one for your child. But yeah, you're right. I think a lot of parents right now, you know, they're being thrown off their own routine and having to deal with changes to your own routine plus your child's routine can be really stressful and, you know, create a lot of tension. And, you know, I tell this to parents a lot. You have to take care of yourself first to help your child. It's just that whole airplane analogy, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before helping your child, because without you are the person that's going to change their lives, that's going to help them through this. If you don't have your routine together and your emotions together, it's going to be very difficult for your child to do the same.
No, it's very well said. And it's an excellent reminder for those parents who are, you know, feeling down on themselves. Recognize, you know, this is your life, you know, like feeling stressed out. Okay, reach out to somebody. You know, you're not a failure by sharing your burden. You know, if you're stressed, tell somebody, hey, I need to talk, you know, give me 5 to 10 minutes of just vent it all out. You know, there were people who were trying to hold it all in and hold it all in to be like, everything's fine and normal. And then they just blow up, you know? So like you're saying, if there's no self-care, it's just going to get worse. I really, really like that. I want to use that. Recognize your emotion, understand what it is you're feeling, and then process that. Like, all right, I am stressed out. Call a friend, a family member, whatever, you know, hit me up in the chat. You know, my DMs are always open. Just say, hey, I'm stressed. Like, cool. Like, just word vomit. And I guarantee you'll be feeling better. So Lisa, I have a link to all of your work below for people to go and check out. Before we wrap this one up, is there anything you'd like to put out or you could share with the parents who are listening to this that are dealing with, you know, their kids are somewhere in what we talked about today? Any closing words for them?
Well, I just want to say that, like what you said, Hunter, you guys are doing the best that you can. And I think that, you know, under these circumstances, just take things one step at a time. Just try, you know, with your kids, just try implementing one activity a day. Like, don't feel like you need to reinvent their whole entire day and have their day schedule be this magnificent, almost school-like schedule, because that's really difficult to do and a lot of pressure for yourself. Like, I mean, teachers spend a whole summer planning for their school year, can't expect to create a home schedule just within like a day or a week. The easiest way to get started is do one activity a day, change it up, and if you see that your child responding well to it, then add another activity and just build on the schedule.
Thank you for coming on the show. For those listening, you know, there are links below to all of Lisa's work. There are a few free programs in there. These are not expensive. And look, if it takes $5 for you to change your entire outcome and relationship with your child, I think that's a $5 well invested. You know, Lisa, thank you again. This has been another episode of the Family Alpha Podcast.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Hunter on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @HunterDrewTFA.